Good morning. Thank you, Angela and Tammy. That was awesome, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. A little small change. I'm just going to keep holding this and preach the message this morning. If that's all right with you guys. Bear with me this morning. I'm going to get a couple of different commercials real quick. Is that okay? Everyone know what this cause is about? It's about saving lives. And so, can everybody see? I'm not trying to put guilt on you. Maybe I am. I don't know. But I pray right now that these bottles will be gone this morning. Amen? I hope in my heart. I'm going to take a couple more. And I encourage you guys, please, you know, if you haven't taken a bottle or two, then please. This is saving lives. This is a worthy, worthy cause. And so I pray that you pick up a couple of bottles, please. Thank you, sir. Put them in the bag. Thank you, Vanna White. I appreciate that. But also, as you see, we have our Vacation Bible School little road signs. So my second commercial is this. We're really excited about Vacation Bible School. I just feel in my heart it's going to be very fruitful. We're going to see a lot of kids saved and born again, and maybe families restored, and maybe their families coming to church eventually. But we're definitely going to plant some seeds, you know, and water it. And we all know that God gives the harvest. So what I'm asking is, if you live in a strategic area, right? I mean, if you're down a country road over by Alligator Alley, don't get one. Well, you know, hey. But if you live in a strategic area and you don't mind putting one of those in your yard, please, we got five back here in the kitchen in one of the tables. Little area. We got five sitting on the table, and I got about 10 in my car. Now, Lynn and I plan on after church today to go to Quitman. We've covered. We got a couple in Morven now, and we've got two or three around the church. And where else did we go? Where's Lynn? She's gone. She disappeared. Oh, she's in the nursery. Yeah, Studsteel Road down there, and then some down Pauline Road. And so we want to strategize. We want to be good stewards of what God's given us. We have 20 signs. So if you definitely live in a good strategic area, you can put it in your yard. Or if you got ideas, please see me, one of us after church, and so we can get some signs. Good? Thank you, guys. Please pray for VBS. I think it's going to be awesome. All right. Anybody told you that God loves you today? All right, God loves you. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I ask you to bless this word as it goes forth. Lord, we know and trust that it will not return void. Holy Spirit, we know that you're in charge of all this. And God, you have a grand plan. And Lord, we just want to be careful and be watchful and keep an open mind and an open spirit about where you're working and the things that you're doing on this earth. And we just want to join in. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're still in the Beatitudes. So if you turn to your Bible, we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. We've got two or three more left, but I have really enjoyed studying for the Beatitudes. I've enjoyed delivering the messages. I tell you, something I've really learned, I've read through them and studied the Beatitudes over the years, but lately, it's been burning my heart. I could preach an entire year on the Beatitudes, but you might run me off if I do that. But, you know, I encourage you to get into the Sermon on the Mount, you know, get into that whole Sermon on the Mount that Jesus is delivering to the folks there, and the Beatitudes is awesome. Just get into it and study it. But let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and began to teach them. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Now, in the Beatitudes, remember, I said last week, Jesus is teaching us a new set of godly standards. And he wants us to focus on walking in the spirit of love, humility, and service. And so far, you know, we've looked at the Beatitudes. So far, we've covered the first five. We've covered the poor in the spirit, the mourning, the meek, the hungry and thirsty, and the merciful. Now, if you've missed, I know a lot of people on vacations and running here and there. If you've missed some of the messages that we've been looking at in the Beatitudes, you can catch up on listening to them on our website. Derry does a great job on the website. It's PaulineBaptistChurch.org. You can listen at home. You can listen in your car or truck as you're driving down the road. You can listen in your office or maybe walking or something like that. But I want to encourage you guys, especially if you're on social media and you see us post things on the Pauline Baptist Facebook page, please take opportunities to share that. Everybody, some of you know what I'm talking about, right? So if you see, you know, Marianne post something about VBS and, oh, wow. So when you post it, it just, we're reaching people for Christ, even on social media now. So we got that going on. But please, you know, if you hear a message that really speaks to you, you thought, wow, my cousin would really like that, or my brother, or my neighbor, man, it would really, you know, that I think they would really get something out of that. You can share that with them. Derry has it on there where it's a PDF, right? Yeah, like the audio, right? Yeah, there you go, that kind of thing. And you can send us a text in your phone. You can send it. You can email it and all that cool stuff. So it's just a little part of us all reaching out and trying to, you know, bless and witness and share our faith and share the good news of the gospel using the technologies we have today. Why do you think they call it the Sermon on the Mount? Because Jesus was using the internet of the day. He was hanging out on the side of a mountain so his voice could carry further, you know, like an amphitheater. Why do you think he stood in a boat? Because his voice could carry out over the water and more people could hear him. So if Jesus, in Sunday school class today, we talked about that. If Jesus came back today, you think he'd be on the internet and social media? And absolutely, I do. You know, I think he would use everything that he could that day to get the word out, to still spend time with that one or two or three and that individual discipleship. So there you go. This morning, let's look at verse 8. That's where we're going to spend our time. Verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Now, for most of you, you know that word blessed in the Greek means what? It means happy. It means a vibrant heart, full of enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is about helping others, spreading the gospel. It's about happiness, and that's what Jesus is focused on, those Beatitudes. Now, we look at the word pure. We're going to spend some time there this morning. Okay? Pure means this. If you look up in the Greek, in the deeper definition, that word pure means clean. It means free from corruption, falsehood, sinful desires, and guiltiness. Now, back in the day, they had a real big thing about clean and unclean. I mean, that was one of the major things that separated, you know, the Jews from the Gentiles and that sort of thing. They were real, you know, real big about cleanliness or uncleanliness. And so we won't spend any time there. But Jesus is talking about them, about a different type of cleanliness, a different type of pure, you know. But still, he wants us to focus on this purity, being clean, free. Everybody say free. Free from corruption, free from falsehood, free from the lustful desires of our flesh, and free from guiltiness. We'll come back there a little bit later. Now, looking on to that scripture, when we look at that word heart, almost always, not every time, but almost always, especially in the New Testament, when you look at that word heart, it means it's talking about our soul. You know, our soul, which they say is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So our soul, most of you heard me say this 1,000 times probably, but our soul is really, and it's biblical, you can look it up and you know, it'll break it down in the Greek there and look it up. But our soul is basically our mind, is how we think, you know, what we dwell on, okay, what we allow to come into this old brain. Okay, it's our mind, it's our will. In other words, it's what we do. It's about our behavior. So it's our will. And then it's our emotions. Okay, happy, sad, up and down, mad, angry, agitated, pleasure. All these things are part of our soul. You know, God created us to be human beings, not human doings. You know, He wants us to be alive and have all these feelings. But also, Jesus is reminding us here that we need to, what? Focus on this heart and keep it pure. Now, when the scripture goes on, it says that we will see God, you know, the pure in heart will see God. When you look it up there, it means twofold. One is that obviously we're going to see God one day in heaven for sure. But it also means the here and now. And that was really cool. I started studying this and kind of went in that angle a little bit and had to back up a little bit because it'll take me an hour to really go into this, but it really talks about seeing God now on earth. It's like us sitting back and watching and look at God. Look at God. Look at God show out. Well, I bet y'all saw God in Tennessee, didn't you? I mean, he was probably really showing out right there. You know, I don't want to get into that, but they're going to come back either next Sunday or the following Sunday or whenever and give us a report on the Tennessee missions, and I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be great. But Jesus is telling here is if we keep a pure heart, we'll see God now. Amen? Amen? Jesus is teaching us that we can be happy and we can have a joyful spirit if we follow these Beatitudes. And this morning we're focusing on walking in the spirit of purity, having a pure heart. We can live our lives with peace of mind. We can live this life free of guilty feelings. But we have to clean our heart. We have to be aware of what's going on in our heart. See, guys, there's no room for secret sins. Did everybody hear that? There's no room in this for secret sins or guilty feelings or an unclear conscience. Jesus wants us to be free of that. And he's saying if we monitor our heart, monitor what comes in. Jesus insisted. He insisted that we examine our hearts. Search me, O Lord, and see if there's any unclean thing in me. He insisted that we examine our hearts. You see, all these Beatitudes that we've been teaching over the weeks, all of them speak directly to our heart. They speak directly to our soul. You see, it did not say, blessed is the pure in actions. It said, blessed is the pure in heart. You see, until the heart is pure, the life will never be clean. I'm going to say that again. Until the heart is pure, the life would never be clean. I see that working with men that I work with. Seriously, they'll try to be religious and read the religious books and you know and the self-help things and that sort of thing. And sometimes they'll walk away and say, I tried this God thing, it just don't work. I went to church and it didn't do nothing for me. It's because the heart was not changed. Amen? It's the heart was not made pure. The first step of purity is when one places their faith, their personal, individual faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and becomes a child of God. Then the sinful man is adopted into the family of God, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and sealed with grace, and given eternal life. When this happens, guys, the Holy Spirit comes in and purifies the sinner and makes him righteous and as white as snow. This is what's happened. This is the good news of the gospel. Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3:11. This is John the Baptist. Says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." This is the fire that cleanses the old man. It cleanses the sin. It cleanses and makes us worthy to enter in heaven. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Man, that gives me chill bumps. Ephesians 5:25-27. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse." Here it is, sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word of God, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Guys, the word of God's clear. No one or nothing unclean will enter heaven. Purity is the only way we could enter heaven and spend eternity with our Heavenly Father and a Heavenly family. God only accepts purity. We have to be cleansed. We have to be cleansed. Nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We sang it this morning, right? What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Jesus is teaching us that blessed or happy is the man or woman whose trust is in him. See, guys, my eternity is settled and secure. Everybody say settled and secure. And if you're a child of God and you put your faith in him, your eternity is settled and secure. That gives me peace and joy. That makes me happy. My purity rests in what Jesus done for me on the cross and what the Holy Spirit is doing for me now. And the Bible even goes to say, most of you know this, Jesus is interceding for us now, isn't he? He's sitting behind, you know, on the right hand of the Father, praying for you and me and your children, your grandchildren. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Blessed are the cleansing blood of Jesus. We'll see God in the future. But what about seeing him now? What about seeing God now? What about walking in the spirit of purity while still on this earth? See, guys, Jesus was also teaching us that we can have peace of mind. We can have an obedient will. And we can have mature emotions. But it's all done in Him and through His Word. Let me just read this to you. An impure unbeliever will act like a sinner and do what sinners do. You all seen that? Man, why does he cuss so much at work? Why does that guy do this? Why does this lady gossip all the time? Well, sinners do what sinners do. Unbelievers do what sinners do, right? Doesn't justify the behavior, but I'm just telling you, an unbeliever that's impure will act like a sinner and do what sinners do. That's why we have to pray for them and witness to them and be patient with them and allow the Holy Spirit to draw them and woo them into salvation. But see, here's the thing. They will reap what they sow, and they will end up answering to Almighty God for their actions and why they rejected the Holy Spirit's invitation. Now, for us Christians, us folks who are followers of Christ, everybody with me? If we walk in impurity, we'll also reap what we sow. We will end up on this earth miserable, unhappy, no joy, sad, angry, and resentful. And our life will be full of drama. I don't need to explain what that means, right? That really. Now, you may be saved, and you may be going to heaven. Maybe even have a little fire insurance. Kind of like Paul was saying the other night. But most of those folks are not happy. They're not happy. They're not joyful. They have their conscience is messed up within them, you know. But if we are obedient to the Holy Spirit and follow, okay, if we follow what Jesus taught in the Beatitudes, we will have this happiness. And Jesus is telling us that to keep our heart pure. We must keep our heart pure, and we'll see God on earth. We'll see Him move in our own lives. We'll see God move in the lives of our families. We'll see God move in the lives of our community and the people that He's charged us to reach. We'll see God. We'll see God move with the brokenhearted. We'll see Him set the captives free and release the oppressed. We'll see God restore relationships. We'll see these altars full. We'll see people being baptized. We'll see God show up and show out and move mountains to demonstrate His amazing grace to those that are lost. Jesus is teaching us to focus on our heart, to keep it pure so that we can be useful ministers. We can be the salt of the earth. While we have this time on this planet, God can use us to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus. There's a lost and hurting world out there, and they need us. They need us to share. Jesus is teaching us in this beatitude to keep our thoughts pure. We cannot pollute our mind with the lustful desires of the flesh or the negative cares of the world. Amen? When we have a pure heart, listen to this, everybody listen. When we have a pure heart, we think better. We make better decisions. And we're able to go to sleep at night and have a clear conscience. So if we're tiptoeing, right? You're cheating on your taxes. If you're caught in a lie. If you're looking at pornography. If you're entertaining the thoughts of doing this or doing that or going here or going that. It'll rob your peace, won't it? Not keeping your mind clear of that junk and those lies and that sin, really. Amen? Jesus is telling us, if we want to be happy, if you truly want to be godly happy, deep down in your soul, that joy that runs up, do the best you can to keep your heart pure. I'm not saying be perfect, right? None of us are. None of us, me, you, none of us are perfect. We don't all get it right. But as Christians, as followers of Christ, I'm talking, let's try our best every day to pick up our cross daily and follow Him. Right? Keep our heart pure. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these such things. Matthew 6:22 and 24 says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. When we have a pure heart, we're able to set aside our will and focus on God's will and help and bless others. Walking in purity fills our heart full of gratitude, and we have no guilt hanging over our heads, thus eliminating self-condemnation. That's what Paul said in Romans. He said, therefore, he was talking about all that awesome stuff that he had just taught them in chapter 7. Some of you are familiar with it. He said, now he taught them all this. Now, therefore, now that I said this, there is no more condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Blessed or happy are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to gather together. Lord, if there be one here today that has never made that decision to trust you, to trust the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, that ultimately makes our spirit pure so that we can't enter into heaven. Or if someone today is not saved, Father, I ask you to just draw them to the altar, that they would come down and say, hey, I want to be saved. I want to be pure. I want to go to heaven. Lord, if this has spoke to someone's heart about some personal secret sins, they can sit right there in their pew if they want to and just ask for forgiveness and repent of that and not do it again ever and serve you. If they feel led to come down here, I'll be glad to pray with them. Or if somebody wants to join a church this morning, Lord, I pray they'll come down and join the church. We ask, pray, Lord, that your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.